pause for prayer. Our Father, we are grateful to be here, but we come because we want to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. Dear Lord, we need to be strengthened in the inner man. We need to be encouraged. We need your wisdom, your power, your purity. And Lord, as we come today, we look to you and ask you to take this passage of Scripture and make it live in our hearts and lives. Lord, please do not let it be just a time of drudgery, waiting for the end. But Father, we pray that as we look into this passage of Scripture, that you will open it up and we will have insight and see what you have done for us and what you will be doing on this earth in the future. And may each one prepare for that time. And Lord, we will thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We come Revelation, the 14th chapter. But I read one verse from Daniel. It says that there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. That's Daniel 12:1. Now the events in our text will be during that time of trouble. And chapter 14 reveals to us the ultimate triumph of Jesus Christ. This chapter is like a table of contents. It takes us from the beginning of the tribulation to the end of it. There are seven visions in this chapter, but we will not deal with those. But we want to begin reading in verse 1 of chapter 14 of Revelation. It said, I looked, that's to the Apostle John, on the Isle of Patmos, but God did something special. He gave him a vision. And he has written it down for us. He said, I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth, then the sea and the mountains of water, and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. The Apostle John said, I looked, and lo, a lamb. He saw a lamb. A lamb is a sacrificial animal. A lion is a kingly beast. Jesus is both the lamb, the Savior, and the lion. He is the coming king. And this lamb stood on Mount Zion. By sin, Israel had forfeited the holy city. Now Jesus is present to take it back. This is the future, but we believe in the near future. And he has his Father's name written in their forehead, Jesus' Father. Jesus, who himself is God, but he placed himself under authority. We all need an authority over us. And they wrote his name in their foreheads where everyone could see. Now, they are identified by name with the only one true Almighty God. Listen to it. Those who worship the Antichrist are sealed with a number, but the saints of God have a name. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters. There is power. You could hear it for a long distance. And as a voice of a great thunder, thunder calls attention. And the attention is that judgment is here. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. They are celebrating. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the beast and the elders. And they are now rejoicing. They're celebrating and they're rejoicing. And no man could learn that song but the 140 and 4,000. They're blessed for a special work. These 144,000 were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, these people are totally separated unto the Lord. This is an object lesson. There's more here than just them being separated from women, because they are free from idols. They are free from spiritual adultery. Now, this is not referring to the Jehovah's Witness, because they marry, and these were not defiled with women. And also, they are the ones who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. They are not only totally separated, but they are totally committed to the Lamb. And we should be separated from things, but separated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just separating from is not enough. That's not sufficient. We need to be separated unto him. When we're separated to him, everything else loses its attraction for us. And these were all redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. They are pure. There's no guile in their mouth. The Bible says that Jesus did not have any guile in his mouth. And so we see that they are like him. It said, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. This angel goes forth preaching the everlasting gospel. Now, the gospel that we preach in this church is the everlasting gospel. And that angel will preach the same thing that we are preaching this morning. And every person on this earth will hear the saving message of Jesus Christ. Every nation, the word for nation is ethnos, the word from which our word ethnic is derived, and it's speaking of every ethnic group and every kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him. There are three things, fear God, give glory to him, and worship him, that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. You think what it's going to be during this tribulation period. Now, I'm under the impression that there are going to be many, many people saved during the tribulation period. Now, it's a sad note because not everyone will be saved. There's going to be a lot of trouble and turmoil during that, and men's hearts become hard toward God. One place in Revelation says they gnaw their tongues for pain, but they do not repent. You see, Dr. Billy Graham, in one service in Seoul, Korea, preached over 1 million people in one service. He has been preaching to multitudes through the years, and many, many people have come to Christ. But here we have 144,000 people out there, as someone said, 144,000 Apostle Pauls. Some others have said 144,000 flaming evangelists going out into the world and preaching. Then there's an angel in the sky that's preaching the same message. People can hear. Every person on earth will hear. And they can make their decision to receive Christ or reject Him. And I believe many people will receive Him. But I do not believe every person will receive Him. Because the Bible says that they will not. But even during our day, there's opportunity for people to come to Christ. The gospel has been preached. It's gone out, and it's going out now over television, the radio, even the newspaper. You can still find the gospel. And it's there are churches that are preaching the Word of God, but yet people reject it and say, I don't want it. It's not for me. We were in a shopping center this past week. And we parked the car, and I got out, and Lane was helping his grandmother out of the car. He opens the door for her and does different things to help her. And there was a man parked angling toward us, and so I had spoken to him, friendly fellow, it seemed. And little Lane got out and saw him, and he told his grandmother, give me a track, give me a track. So she gave him a track, and he went over to hand it to the man. And the man looked at him, wanted to know what it was. He said, this is about the gospel. And I was really proud of him. And he said, this is about the gospel. And the man looked at him. He said, well, not now. Not now, an older fellow. And I don't want that to discourage Lane, because not all men have faith. Here it is, you know. Offered the gospel, didn't want it. But listen, this angel is preaching the everlasting gospel to every person on earth and telling people to repent and trust Christ, to fear God. And verse 8, there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city which made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, this is judgment on religion. You can read the details in chapter 17 and 18. But Babylon goes back to Nimrod in the book of Genesis, the 10th and 11th chapters. But now, here we have, there's a Babylonian system and there's a Babylonian city. And now judgment is on this city. It says it's a great city. And it is, because it has influenced the whole world. And it says, because she made all nations. This city, this system has influenced all nations. And she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. There is forced submission. I want you to know we're not living 1 million years from that now. And it is time to prepare to meet God, because we see it coming to a conclusion. And the third angel, verse 9, followed them saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Before we finish that verse, I just wanted you to know that there will be judgment on the religious and the economic system. You see, it speaks of the worship and the mark. The economic Babylon and religious Babylon are under the rule of Satan. There is the worship and there is the mark. The mark for economic reasons. Because you cannot buy and sell without the mark. And the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture. Listen, there is undiluted judgment coming for those who reject Christ on this earth. Without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. So, well, do you believe that? I believe it with all of my heart.
Amen.
I believe that just as I believe John 3:16.
Right.
And God did not lie when he put that in the Bible.
Right.
And if it had not been true, he would not have allowed it to be in the Bible. And there is a penalty for rejecting God and his holiness and his righteousness and the free salvation that he offers. Verse 11 says, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." There is punishment without mercy. These people exchange the truth of God and believe the lie. The lie that Satan has been promoting since the book of Genesis, and people, it will be promoted during the tribulation period, and people follow that instead of Christ. And now they are receiving the penalty for that. You see, there will come a time when there will be the reaping of the earth. Jesus bought back everything that was lost through Adam. Adam, when he sinned in the Garden of Eden, lost headship over everything, over God's creation. And we all became sinners because of that. But the Lord Jesus Christ came down and bought back that which was lost through Adam. And in Revelation 5, he's going to take the title deed to the earth. And then he comes back to claim that which is rightfully his, that he bought through his own blood, with his own blood. And now we have the reaping of the earth. And this occurs late in the Great Tribulation. At present, this event is future. But it is so sure a fulfillment that it is presented as having already happened. In these verses, we see the Son of God judging the earth by sending his angels. Now notice, the angel has an everlasting gospel. It's an everlasting, eternal message. It said, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them. It is a universal message that the angel has to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Listen, the rulers during that time cannot keep the gospel out. They cannot keep it away from the people, because there'll be 144,000 going out. There'll be an angel in the sky that's preaching it. The word will go out. It is an urgent message. We notice, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. So it is a very urgent message, even in our day. See, it's an eternal message, a universal message, a needed message, and an urgent message. To be saved, people must hear and heed the word of God. And at this time, it is our responsibility to proclaim the good news so that this generation may hear, believe, and be saved. In fact, Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, the Lord said, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as the children of Israel did in the wilderness." God's judgment wagons are moving slow, but God's mills grind to powder. Listen, so hear, believe, and heed his voice, heed his message. There's an angel with the announcement that Babylon is falling. This is so timely, folk. Listen, it's surfacing before our eyes every day on the news. There are people in this country working overtime to bring in this Babylonian system. And there followed another angel, verse 8, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Babylon includes all that is evil and anti-God. The political, educational, economic, and religious systems of this world will fail. Now the angel proclaims the doom of all those who worship the beast. Listen, it is a certain doom. If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. This is a certain doom. It's an awful doom. It's a horrible thing. It's not a pleasant thing. You say, well, why do you want to preach something like that? People don't like to hear that. They're not coming. Listen, it would be a sin to your soul for me not to warn of what God said. It's a tormenting doom. It says he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. It's an eternal doom. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they rejected the everlasting gospel. Now they're eternally lost. Listen, the lumbering judgment wagons of God overtook them. Now let's think for a moment of the Redeemer. We have the judgment that's coming, but think of our Redeemer. I looked and I saw a Lamb. A Lamb. He is the Redeemer. Now, we know at this present time, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is seated by the right hand of the Father for us. That's why he is there. Says who? Romans 8:34, who is even at the right hand of God? Ephesians 1:20 says that he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I think going through my mind, and I was thinking, this says that he set him at his right hand, the honored place, honored position, the Lord Jesus is the one who had the marks of redemption on him. And you think of him as he appeared with the wounds in his hands. No scars. The Bible doesn't say there are any scars in the hands of Jesus. The Bible does say there are wounds in his hands. In fact, the Jews ask him when he returns, what are those wounds in thine hands? You see, they're open because he was offered in sacrifice. But I thought of him standing before the Father with the wounds in his hands, a riven side, the places where the crown of thorns were placed on his head, the unkempt hair, beaten to where he was unrecognized. And the Father said, Son, you sit here. But that's not really the way it was. Because on the Damascus Road, after the resurrection, as he walked with the men and talked with those disciples, they did not recognize him as one that had been offered in sacrifice. You see, when he rose from the grave, all that was gone. And one day, we're going to get up with a power greater than gravity. We're going to say, we've never seen it like this. It's going to be good. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. But in our text, he's not seated, he's standing. Listen, when there's special business that needs his immediate attention, Jesus stands. When Stephen was stoned to death, Jesus stood to welcome him home. In the Acts, the 7th chapter, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven, that's Stephen, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Think about it. That's what Stephen saw as he's dying. Or have you read the testimony of dying people, dying saints of God? I know Dr. R.G. Lee, that man that was so descriptive in his writing, he could just take anything. He could take a garbage dump and make it live and make it beautiful with words. As he was dying, he said, I see Jesus
He said, "Oh, I never did injustice. I never did injustice." But now Jesus is standing on Mount Zion as he prepares judgment to claim that which is rightfully his. This earth is his by price of redemption. All that was lost through the first Adam has been regained through the second Adam and much more. Revelation 14:1, "I looked and saw a lamb. Lo, a lamb stood on the earth, on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, and having his father's name written in their foreheads. Now those who worship the Antichrist are sealed with his number." I repeat that. Don't miss that. They're sealed with a number. But the Father gives a new name. You can read about it. Revelation 2:3. And it's better to be identified with a name rather than sealed with a number. Amen. Listen, you think of his person. Think of the Lamb. He is the Lamb who was slain. "I looked and lo, a lamb, and he saw the lamb that had been once offered in sacrifice. He said, there stood a lamb as it had been slain. He is a lamb who opened the seals of judgment." In Revelation, the 6th chapter, verse 1, Revelation 6. "And I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see." Listen, Jesus opened one of the seals and made it possible for the Antichrist to ride out and be revealed. The tribulation begins. "Oh, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. He is the Lamb who exercises wrath against ungodliness." Listen, Revelation, the 6th chapter, verses 14 and 16, says that every mountain and island were moved out of their places. What a mighty power it is. And verse 15 says, "The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain." Listen, these are the mighty men of the earth, but they are afraid. I say, what devastating fear comes. But notice, they did not repent. They did not repent. But they asked for the mountains and the rocks to fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Listen, he is the Lamb whose blood has power. And that's what I would like for us to note this morning, that his blood has power. "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." We were redeemed by his blood. He is a lamb whose song will be sung. Now, Revelation 15:3, "They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thy King of saints." We do not know that song, but in heaven we will sing redemption song. We all can sing it, and we all will sing it. He is a lamb who will provide a great marriage feast. Revelation 19:7. "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." Listen, it's coming. It's coming. There'll be that great time when the bride and the Lamb will meet. There will be the wedding. He is the Lamb who has a throne in heaven. And I want you to think now. You think about it. How about you this morning? Here is a Lamb who shed his blood that you and I could be saved. There's a horrible time coming on this earth. Now, Christians are not going to be. I believe that we'll be out of here before that happens. I believe that. I'm a premillennialist, but I'm a pre-tribulationist. pre-tribulationists, pre-millennialists. If you want some other big words, you let me know and I'll look them up for you. But the thing is, we're going to be out of here. He did not save us to go through wrath. He saved us to take us to heaven to be with Him. I don't have to be purged. He purged me on the cross. Amen? And but I'd like to know about you this morning. What will you do with Jesus that's called the Christ? Will you receive Him and be in eternity with the blessed? Or will you reject Him and be in eternity with the rejecters forever? You see, by special invitation, Jesus is tenderly calling you to repentance and faith. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for ye shall find, for I'm meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Listen, at this moment you are at the point of decision. At this moment you are deciding your eternal destiny. This morning, at this time. And let me remind you again, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. Be sure you cast the die right. Let us stand with our heads bowed. We stand with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed. Oh, listen, the Lamb. Oh, the bleeding Lamb. The Lamb that shed His blood on Calvary. The Lamb that died for me, that died for you, waits to save you, cleanse you, forgive all of your sins, and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I know it's a small group, but we do not take for granted that every person in any group is all saved. Everyone is saved. So this is for you to come to Christ. And, oh, Christian, it's time that we mean business. We don't have long left. We don't have long, so we need to do what we're going to do for Him and let our lives count, because we can make a difference in someone's eternity. We want to give you the opportunity to make a commitment this morning, that you will commit to the Lord afresh and anew. Say, "I want the Lord to have the remainder of my life. What's left, I want Him to have it." Our Heavenly Father, have your will and way in every heart and life, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, please.